How do you say this in Hindi? Love is not love until you give it away. Okay, there you go. Good for you. The Hindi she could have. Try to learn Hindi. Nice language. So, this is it. The whole purpose of learning is to teach. You know, it's our whole idea like that. And when you learn with this perspective, I'm going to have to teach this, and it's like, you know, it's the whole, I better learn this, you know, practically. Oh my God. The garland of Shakti. Shakti. Shakti Mala. Okay, thank you. Is it or not? Oh, it does. Well, all right. Okay. Yeah. So we have this, you know, program. And then, I actually heard Prabhupada say, even in 100 years, you cannot fully appreciate all the books we have, like that, so on. And so he also says something else like that, similar. And no, nobody can take everything the spiritual master is offering. Like that. So when I heard that, I was relieved, because I was trying to do that. I was trying to like understand all of, you know, we have a whole PowerPoint show called the Bhaktivedanta Library. It starts off with the Vedas, okay, you know, the essence of all the knowledge in the world. Everything is there, architecture, mechanics, political science, everything. And then from that we have the Isopanishad, which is Shruti. It's actually Vedic literature, Shruti. Then we have Bhagavad Gita as it is, right? And that's the ABCs of spiritual life. And then the big brother of that is? PowerPoint show. Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the heart. It's the literary incarnation of God. And then the Krishna book is?
10th canto.
Yes, summary study of the 10th canto. And Light of the Bhagavat is?
Summary of chapter of Krishna book.
Yeah, it's a chapter 20 of the 10th canto. And then we have, in Spanish, it's a separate book, the Life of Lord Chaitanya, which is the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a perfect little separate book, 35 pages, about our Acharya, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can read it like in one evening. And then we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a Srimad Bhagavatam class. And Lord Chaitanya is showing us how to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone here. Even another victim here. There we go. Okay. There you go. Be careful. It's habit forming. Yes. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Lord Chaitanya said, you cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam until you become a madman like me. Right? Today is a very interesting day. Today is the disappearance day. Vrindavan Das Thakur. Like that. He's the son of Naraini, and his father is not mentioned, kind of like scrupulously like me. Like he was like, it's just like kind of, you know, only his mother is mentioned because we don't talk about people who aren't spiritual or something like that. So his father, I don't know who his father was. But it's, things were going on even 500 years ago. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he wrote, what did he write? What did he write? He wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat? Yeah, like that. And he is? What is his more original form? In Krishna's pastimes, who is he?
In Krishna's pastimes?
Yeah. In the Mahabharata, who is he?
Vyasa.
Yeah, he's an incarnation of Vyasa. I've heard the Prabhupada said you'd be surprised where the people in this movement are, like that. Even the modern movement. So he said, my only ambition is to study Srimad Bhagavatam life after life with Lord Chaitanya as my teacher. No, sorry, with Lord Nityananda as my teacher. That'd be nice, huh? Yeah. So this is the heart, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Nectar of Devotion, our good professor David Haberman, says it's like a summary, you know, extract of the essence of the Bhagavatam, like that. And the Bhagavatam is so much about Daivi Varnashram Dharma, right? How to be a man, how to be a woman, how to be an administrator, a king, a prince, a scholar, a student, old age, you know, all these sociological positions, but Daivi for a spiritual purpose, like that. So you transcendentalize your ordinary material life. Then it's very easy to be a devotee, because you're just, everything you're doing is spiritual, you know. So it's very wonderful. You know? Did you see on CNN? Read that. No, CNN. VNN, Vaishnava News at Work. Oh, it's really interesting. It's a big temple. And Sunday feast is going on, big kirtan like that. Maybe you know, and the president was very big collector, everything else like that. He was appointed president by GBC secretary like that. And big kirtan going on Sunday feast, and then he came in, everybody's cheering him, Jaya Jaya Prabhu, like that. But then you now notice up by the altar was this one guy, he's actually his famous Food for Life guy, and working very hard. So he had come back and he hadn't been able to change his clothes or anything for the, in time for the feast. He was trying to finish his rounds like that. And he didn't offer his proper respect to this guy. So this big fight developed, and the president is chastising this guy and everything in public. It was really nasty. But temple president's daughter was a Guru Kuli, and she was married to the Food for Life guy. So she started to chastise her own father in front of everybody else. I'll stop here. You recognize the story?
Daksha.
Because you go to the next part, people freak out. And I go, she ran out crying, came back and covered by water, but it wasn't water, it was gasoline from the lawnmower. She set herself on fire from the Sunday feast. Like that. So, I say three times, this is not a true story, this and that. And still it goes out, did you hear? Which temple was this? This wasn't happening when Prabhupada was here. Like that, No. So the GBC secretary is Lord Brahma, the Food for Life guy is Lord Shiva, the Gurukuli girl is Sati, the president is Daksha, big sacrifice, the Sankirtan Yajna is different three sacrifices. Whoa. So, yes, I can go on other ones too like that. And the pregnancy of Ditti in the evening, with the head pujari, the temple president runs off with the head pujari's wife. That's the story of Indra runs off with Soma runs off with Brihaspati's wife. I guess Soma would be headed Bhakti Vedanta Kali. Mental guy. There's a whole way to write a whole book. Right, But this is this is what's happening. This is the Bhagavatam is real stories about real eternally, the archetypal images. And if you learn these things, then everything is there. So Daivi Varnasham Dharma, study this book, 24 hours a day. And one time there was an efficiency expert, and he came to give a class to these managers, the Bhaktivedanta College, in Warp World 9. It's an alternative universe, just like this universe. Right. Warp World 9. But there's a Bhaktivedanta College there, there's a Radhadesh there, but a little different than here. So he came to give this presentation. And he had had this big glass jar like that, So he took these rocks and put it inside like that, and he said, "Is it full?" And people said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "Okay." And he took out some sand, sort of pouring it in there, like that, up at the top. And he said, "Is it full?" And they go, "Yeah." And he took out a jar of water and started pouring it in there. And they put this on like that. And he said, "Is it full now?" And they said, Look, as far as we can tell, it's full, But the way you've been going, I don't know what's going to happen next, As far as I know, it's full too, So this is the idea, is that you can be occupied 24 hours a day, but then you can occupy yourself more intensely 24 hours a day, and then extremely intensely 24 hours a day. He said, but you've got to put in the big rocks first. So you pick out your big plan. Okay, get up for Mangala Arati, take prasadam, do my class in the morning, do my research work in the afternoon, come to the evening program, take rest. Okay. Then, you start adding these things like that. So, this is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So much Daivi Varna Ashram there. And then Rupa Goswami, A Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is a commentary by David Haberman, who seems to be a devotee. And other people too. He pulls out the bhakti marg, which is the essence of everything like that. It's there, but it's now we're just getting out of the real essence. This is for people who varnashram life is okay. I'll take care of it. It's okay. It's not so important. Other people know they just really have to focus on living a proper life socially. These different arrangements: grihastha ashram, sannyasa ashram, brahmachari. But some people there, I'll take care of it. It's not important, like that. And then, you can really focus on bhakti. Bhakti marg. Bhagavad Dharma. So nectar of instruction is the essence, devotion is the essence, right? Extracted. from the Bhagavatam. And you find almost all the examples, right? So many examples are from, you know, Bhagavatam to support the different kinds of bhavas and things like that. Then what's nectar of instruction? In our Bhaktivedanta library, Bhagavatam, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. It's a summary. It's a little brother. You know, I think I'm nectar of devotion over there or not, but it's like a little brother of that, you know. And then other things too. Then we have like 35 volumes of room conversations, 17 volumes of lectures, and that goes on and on like that. 10 volumes of letters. So Prabhupada did all this in about 10 years, I think. I forgot how calculation in the PowerPoint show. I forgot what it was. It was something like a regular author, a professional author who knows what he's doing, who has a contract. You know, it takes 3 years to write a full-size book. Yeah? If you ever try to write something, even a paper, like, you know, just a measly three-page paper, you know, it's like, what is because something that somebody will actually read, you know, like that, actually something that's like, you know, quality, you know. So it takes 3 years to produce one book, you know. And Prabhupada produced, 100 books in 10 years, like that, you know. So that's what that's, you know, it would take 300 years for an ordinary author like that. So even this, you look at it, look at Prabhupada's life from so many angles, economically, you know, so many things. So as an author looks at this, professional author, and you'd say, it's not an ordinary human being. It would take 35 professional authors around Prabhupada, like, to keep up with him like that, generating that. And it's all not all repetition, you know, some repetition, but so much original materials. There's one purport in the Bhagavatam. I think it's 17-page purport. That's the Bhaktivedanta purport. Yeah. And what it is a summary study of Sanatana Goswami's refutation of Shankaracharya's attempt to prove from two verses of Vedanta Sutra that the bodies of Vasudeva, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna are material, as cited in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like that. So it could be printed as a separate booklet, like that, you know, about this, yeah. So then, you know, because everybody has their own karma, right? Their own karma, their own mind, their own nature, like that. And we have to understand this. What is our, you know, that's the tool we have, again. So most of us are on the platform. Even if we're not attached to our karma, we were discussing this before, right? In the class in the morning. You can sacrifice the result of your karma, or you can sacrifice your karma. Right? You can be an administrator and sacrifice the results to the Hare Krishna movement. Or you can sacrifice your job and work for the Hare Krishna movement as an administrator. Right? Yeah. So this is karma yoga. You know? And then somebody else, okay, he's more advanced, like that. I forgot something else happening now. There's an arm hanging out there. The Wizard of Oz. Pass it off. My God, heart. Take it off for you. Okay. God, Hare Krishna. We're blood brothers now. Yeah. Wow. Incredible. Yeah. So, I came up with this same concoction, and I heard Govinda Maharaj the same concoction, so maybe it's not a concoction. We follow Varnashram Dharma because, okay, we're attached to our material life, and so it's the best way to, you know, to organize our life. And it keeps us from falling down. If we have problems, you know, and start being pure devotees, which is very difficult. Then we fall down to Daivi Varna Ashram, and okay, have a civilized life, and it's easy to get back up again. Another reason, it's the best way to organize the Sankirtan party. You know, some people are good artists, some people are, you know, good organizers, administrators, some people are, you know, good, you know, okay, so use that. Use Varnashram for Sankirtan party. And the third reason is that it's the best example for other people. Right? Not everybody can appreciate devotees. They look at the devotees, oh, they're clean, they're punctual, their social relations are, you know, upright, you know. Oh, okay. Yeah? So we follow Varnashram. So my karma, according to psychological inventories, do you give psychological inventories to your students?
In one course in teacher training tool, I think,
yeah?
One of the teachers
test.
Yeah.
Now I'm known in the United States, probably many places. Before you come, when I joined the University of California, we had like one day of like examinations we had to take. But now it's even more intense because of all the students killing everybody on campuses, shooting everybody. It's like they go through and see if like people have like, you know, psychotic tendencies, violent tendencies like that. You know? But it's very interesting because you actually can find out a lot about your tendency, your nature, like that. You know, so that Indian palmists, they have really heavy sannyas karma, like that. And everybody else, you've seen your chart, Anuji? What is your karma? No? You don't know?
Yeah.
Huh?
In a church,
there's a new teacher. Ah, yeah. Did it surprise you when you found that?
No.
Yeah. Because usually your own experience, you go through things and it just confirms it. Yeah. But sometimes but you discover something unusual and you try it out and why, it's a fact. I never thought of that. I never knew that. You know? So it's nice to use astrology in these things to understand our nature like that. Yeah. So then, you know, my nature is being a minimalist. Just travel with. Actually, when I had this, I have everything, right? my beads, one of Prabhupada's books. I have like a small, you know, notepad with a bi-monthly calendar, one credit card, one identification card, and $36. So like, go like that, complete. You know, like that. Yeah. And then from our curriculum, then we're developing this Bhakti Shastri program, our American Bhagavat curriculum. So the whole thing is based upon, you know, Upadeshamrita. That's our first book. And as you go through it, the more you go through it, the more you discover that it's so complete. You know, it just fans out. If you follow all the citations in here, they take you to the next level, like that. They take you to the next level, right? The citations from Srimad Bhagavatam, the citations from Bhagavad Gita, they go to like a whole, kind of like, it's like a very natural systematic study, you know. It's a great Vaishnava verse book. If you memorize all the verses in here, Sanskrit, you know, Bhagavad Gita, everything else, it's a very nice, you know, collection of verses to like support different ideas, you know, like that. You know. So it's available at the gift store for in many languages. I get 15% while I'm here of all sales. Make a deal like that. Yeah.
Okay.
15%. You sell for 12? Okay. 12%.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're basing it. Then right in the introduction, Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami has given us this book so we can become pure Vaishnavas. What is here? It says right here. Huh? To achieve the highest goal in life, highest success in life, by becoming a Goswami, and then the pure devotee of the Lord, one must follow the instructions known as Upadesha Amrita, which have been given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Goswami gave many other books, such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidhagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, and what else did he write?
A lot of things.
Huh?
Many more things.
Yeah. Can you name any more? Any very pertinent to this? Ujjvala Nilamani. Because Ujjvala Nilamani, he says directly, in translations I've seen, that I didn't go into too much into Prema Madhurya Ras in the previous book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, because it's a more confidential topic. So the Ujjvala Nilamani is a whole separate book specifically on the northern part of the ocean, like that. Sri Krishna Janmatiti, How to Celebrate Janmastami, Radha Krishna Ganadesha Deepika, all the associates of Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan. What else? Gopala Champu, Jiva Goswami.
Jiva Goswami, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Vichitvara Kavita?
I don't know.
Yeah, these are the verses.
Yeah.
And it's, what do you call that?
Cycle?
Picture verses.
Oh! Looking at pictures? Radha and Krishna looking at pictures?
No, these verses are written in a the Sanskrit is in a different, like a different, like a snake or something.
Oh, okay.
I will give you a translation.
Wow.
In the PDF with the pictures, it's really. Yeah.
There's also one book of Radha and Krishna looking at pictures like that. You know, which is they're talking like that and stuff. And then Uddhava Sandesh.
Uddhava Sandesh.
And they're all intense books, you know. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, but probably, actually, I've seen a couple of times probably mentions the same sequence. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, like the Madhava.
Is this also the collection of poetry?
Yeah.
And also he has many
small things.
What is this here? In Padyavali of other verses, but there is all his own poetry collection.
Yeah.
I forgot the name, but they are very, very beautiful poems there. Inside.
And the thing, trying to translate them and do justice to the, you know, the translation is very difficult. A lot of times, so fine, using the same word like that. ¿Cuántas estrellas hay en el cielo? No, son 50. ¿Sí? Son 50. Okay. Now, if you translate that, the joke says, how many stars are there in the sky? And you say, there are 50. Seems strange, you know? Because 50 is 50, but 50 is without count. So this is, you know, translating poetry. Yeah. Humorous poetry is the same thing. Yeah. So translating poetry and stuff is off. You know, such a job, you know, like that. Yeah. Yeah. So the same sequence many times. Prabhupada mentions this. That's what we're doing, you know. Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita. That's why Yadunandana asked me, do you want to teach here? Could you teach? And what do you got out of that? So well, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay. Because it fits into our particular way to understand Prabhupada, his books. Yeah, everybody has to get their own, you know, their own way of associating with Prabhupada, you know, through his literature, through his vani, like that. Yeah. So Upadeshamrita, and then we started to write a book. Here it is, our manuscript. Yeah. Tava Pache Pache. Which means?
Following.
Yeah, going behind you. There's a song by there are three songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which are illuminations on the Upadeshamrita, like that. One, of course, we have is the one after another in the songbook. And the one we have is O Hey Vaishnava Thakur. You know, Krishna Krishna Boli, I'm Daya Tava Pache Pache. I'm just running behind you, chanting Krishna, 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 like that. So our book is Tava Pache Pache, afterwards to the Nectar of Instruction, like that. And he's, you know, running behind Srila Prabhupada, like that, you know, in the dust there, you know, just barking, oof, Krishna, Krishna, you know. You ever had the experience? I mean, running behind Prabhupada, I mean, going on Harinam and dogs coming. Yeah, so many dogs will join the kirtan party? No?
Should
that
friend?
Huh?
Should that friend?
No, there's a big variety. Some varieties. Have so much variety. Wow. We had one dog. What was it? Maybe it was in Peru. And he was about this big, you know. So he went chanting, and there were a fair number of street dogs there. He joined us like that. He would like kind of challenge you with showing his fangs, like you know, every kind of devotees who kind of like, you know, we're chanting and stuff and stuff. So he kind of like get up on us, you know. But he kept going with the whole kirtan party and people like in the crowd. He would like same thing. He would kind of charge them and you know growl at them and they would like you know raise their hands and also kind of like laughing and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. They also Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, so he started like you know. It's like Yamaraj, you know. Chant Hare Krishna, I go to hell. You know? So he stayed with us the whole time like that. So even the dog, right? Even the dog.
In Australia,
I
heard a dog which was in the temple, and he liked very much the Harinam, so they were going with a van.
Yeah, yeah.
He was jumping always. But once there was no place, they left. Yeah. Left him, and then he was depressed for a whole week. You know, didn't want to eat, and he was.
Yeah, his name was Hari Rama. His name was Hari Rama. And you know, when they were on the farm, so when they were loading all the instruments up for Harinam, he figured out what was happening. He'd hop in like that, you know. So then all the brahmacharis and sannyasis would get in, and the ladies would get in, and the ladies would complain because he was back there sometime. You know, when his room was okay, but when it was like it packed in with his dog like that, a farm dog, you know, they would complain, you know. So. He was the lowest level of social administration there. They tossed him out. A few times. And after a couple of times, they had to bring him because he wouldn't play with anybody. He would, you know, refused to play with anybody, refused to take food for like. He was really upset like that, you know, insulted, you know. So after that, they had to work something out like that, give him a bath beforehand or something, you know, put him in. And then the same thing, he would go along with the kirtan party and bark at other dogs, and other dogs would join them. Like he was really like, he would just bark, you know, they would come along. And all the people in the town there, you know, they all knew him like that. So when he died, on the front page of the paper, there was a little obituary, and it says, Hari Rama died, like that, and it had a little thing like that, you know. Yeah.
One dog in the parikrama joined this year. At the middle, and then he continued following, or it was she, I think.
Yeah.
And followed like 3 or 4 days till the end, which means at least about 50 kilometers long.
Yeah.
It was always in the front, you know, after Prabhupada.
In 7 years, I think almost every year, maybe it's the same dog, I don't know. You know, it's the same thing as it's a bitch. It's a lady dog. Yeah. But was she taking prasadam?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, our dog would like kind of sniff at it. She preferred to do madhukari.
Uh-huh.
She'd run around getting prasadam and she'd come take a little bit from the devotees. It's very interesting, you know. Like take a little bit from the devotees, not too much. And then stay with the group, you know, the party like that. And many dogs, I think they do that. They go from they know places. Yeah? Like that. They go with parties like that and they stop off at some place.
You know?
So Papa says they're not ordinary people. So everybody can write a book, you know, for running behind the acharya, previous acharya, you know. And so we have the study guide, and it's you know, like I say, it's on our web page. Our web page has been hacked. I just got a message, and they'll say they've suspended us, and hopefully they're going to get it back up again, so you can archive this stuff. But we have our whole program like that, and study guide. It's over 2 years for Bhakti Shastri. Then we'll go on to Bhakti Bhai Bhava, and I think I'll probably stop there. Probably won't do Bhakti Vedanta in this lifetime. I mean, like that. So now, if we finished off, we started off with nectar of instruction 1, 2, 3. Control your senses, engage in the service of Krishna. And then I think that went to Isopanishad, then just skipped over to that parallel. And that came up to the point where he's talking about the same things, actually, the same thing, because in text number 2, Achahara, in text number 2 of Isopanishad really focuses on that one thing. Achahara prayasascha prajalpa nimagraha nanasanga. These six things are pravritti. You must avoid them like that. You know? And so, but Prabhupada focuses over and over again, and Bhakti Siddhanta also, on achahara. And of course,
Achahara.
Over collecting or overeating, or acquiring too much knowledge, or acquiring too many mystical powers, as Bhakti Siddhanta says. And so, and then loyalam means to think about this, to think about, you know, planning to get all these things. And if you do that, then what happens? If you engage in that, to maintain your achahara, you have to do what?
Did you say greedy?
No. To maintain it, you have to engage in prayashas, right? You over endeavor then, to get more than you need like that. So they're connected. You know. And janasanga, you know, means to associate with people who are, you know, collecting more than necessary, like that. So it's very simple. So then Prabhupada quotes one verse directly from the Isopanishad. Which verse? No. He cites that. He paraphrases it like that. You can see that. See, you go through this very subtly. You see the little gentle brush strokes, like Prabhupada saying that there is a complete arrangement. There is a complete arrangement by the Lord's mercy. Okay. Small book. You know, I should be able to find it quickly. There it is, okay. When people learn the art of scientifically utilizing the Lord's property, they will no longer encroach upon one another's rights. Then an ideal society can be formed. The basic principle for such a spiritual society is stated in the first mantra of Sri Isopanishad. Ishavashamidam sarvam. Yakincha jagat yam jagat. Tena tiyak tena bunjita. Magridha karsha svidbanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore only accept those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. Very profound, in terms of living your life, right? Living your life. What is my quota? You know? What is that? What is necessary for me? Okay, I'm being offered more. One sannyasi, Sudama Maharaj. He was, you know, every day these big opulent feasts being offered, vihastas and all the mahaprasada, every offering, you know. So Prabhupada, what should I do, you know? And Prabhupada said, oh, this is the duty of grihastha, to offer big, big prasad to the sannyasi. You know? But he said, it's duty of sannyasi to take little, little, little. Yeah. And this way this competition goes on, you know. Yeah. You know? So yeah, so many things are coming, but what's my quota? What do I really need? I shouldn't take any more than I need. You know? And then Prabhupada says, Krishna conscious devotees know well that this material world is designed by the complete arrangement of the Lord to fulfill all the necessities of all living beings. Like that. So there's the, you know, Om Purnama Daya Purnamidam, verse like that. You know, like that. So those two verses, right? So let me go to Isopanishad, you know, 1, 2, 3, Isopanishad. And you go up to the point where he talks about seeing everybody. Everybody is, you know, is part and parcel of the Lord. Such a person doesn't fear anybody. Such a person doesn't envy anybody, like that. You know. And then that's, you know, who can see that? Who can see that? A jnani? Yeah. Vidyavinaya sampane. Yeah. But a devotee, Prabhupada says, really, the only person who can really see this is Uttamadhikari. Because he can see everybody has the potential to serve Krishna. Really, really, that's their best occupation. This person can be a doctor, a lawyer, but really, he begins to see how this person should serve Krishna. They have this ability. And he's a demon, right? Rascal. Yeah. So he should serve Krishna. In Vastu, is Rahu and Ketu, the different influences. Where do Rahu and Ketu go in good Vastu? Good architecture.
Which part of the house?
Yeah. Property, house, nation. Desk.
West?
Huh?
West?
No. Outside the front door.
Outside. Or I mean it.
Yeah. Cause like guard dogs. Yeah. This irritable guys, you know, like that. Everybody, so you put them out front to guard your house like that. Mm-hmm. And I guess you give them like one idli or ladu, one ladu every day. You know what I mean? They remember who their master is, like that. You know, yeah. So everybody has their, you know, position like that. You know, so Uttamadhikari, text number 7, Isopanishad, or 6. He says can see these things. You know. And in text number 7, he goes on and talks about how Madhyamadhikari, he can also see it by, you know, by using his intelligence like that. He can also get, well, depending how high he is, get some feel for this and see how to engage everybody. You know. So let me go back to, here it is, okay. So here we are. Part number 3. Finally got to this. That's enough for today. Returning from Isopanishad, text number 11. There, Srila Prabhupada was explaining that we can cultivate vidya, right? Because after talking about, you know, seeing everybody one, then he goes into this thing about vidya, avidya, and viavidya, right? There's 3 things, you know, talking about. Knowledge, you know how to live properly. You know what to eat, everything else. You know, tobacco is a good herb for bruises, like that, right? You know, so you put it on there, okay, it's knowledge. Ignorance is you try and smoke it, right? You know, like that. And then cultivated ignorance is you develop all these big tobacco factories and you use genetically engineered tobacco. And one devotee was smoking, initiated, but he was... You know, smoking, and he wanted to quit, met devotees like that. And so when he started going off tobacco, he'd have like his face would turn red, he was vomiting, it was like unbelievable the reaction he was having, you know. His lungs were closing up, he couldn't respire, you know. It was only because of some determination he was able to quit, you know. So he started investigating, and every single legally addictive substance you can get is in tobacco. Monosodium glutamate is like, Anything that's addictive to your body, which is not illegal, they put it in there. So when you're smoking tobacco, you just become like, your body becomes like, you know, addicted to it. So this is cultivated stupidity. Right? Sri Upanishad is talking about that. Vidya, avidya, and then, you know, I don't know what the Sanskrit is, but I learned it. Cultivated stupidity is the modern world. Like that. So after that, in the end, Prabhupada is saying that the Vedas, you know, the Vedas only give us a general idea like that. You're not going to get understanding of who is God as a person from the Upanishads. Therefore, one must study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says many times in the Upanishad, again and again, this, you know, these things are better explained in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Upanishads are a tool. They're an outreach tool. Right? We're using Light of the Bhagavat as an outreach tool. Yeah? So for intelligent class of people, cultured people, aesthetic people, for these big jnanis like that, you can throw out the Upanishad verses. You know. Yeah. There's a smell of intellectual perfection here, like that. You know. Clever games. You know. Yeah, I'm mentioning that. The Supreme Lord, the ultimate control. Walks, but it doesn't walk. It stays in one place. It's situated in one place. The ultimate control, you know. But it also is everywhere. You know, so it's exactly why it's designed like that. It has very symmetry. Symmetry. It goes like this way and that way, and then depth. It goes three dimensional play on ideas like that. You know, avidya and sambhava. Sambhuta and Sambhava, like that. So if you're a Sanskritist, you can just, you know, delightful. And then the poetry, like that. Yeah. So after that, the Prabhupada says in the purport then, if you really want to go ahead, then you have to take shelter of the process of hearing and chanting. So Prabhupada was explaining that in the text number 11, that we can best cultivate vidya, that we can best cultivate vidya. Maybe knowledge of Brahman, with the ultimate goal of pure devotional service in this age, by always hearing, chanting, and worshipping with concentrated attention upon the Supreme Lord. Okay. Brahma Bhuta, Prasanatma, Nasochati, Nakanchati. Mad Bhakti Mabhyate Param. Only when we understand Brahman, which the Upanishad will give us that, it'll take us to Brahman. Then mad bhakti labhyate param. Then we get bhakti like that. Yeah. So this is very natural cue to go back to 7 and 8 in Upanishad, in Upadeshamrita. Because text number 1, 2, 3. Number one is sarvapadi vinir muktam tatparat nama nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate. Or is it rishikesha rishikena sevanam? Probably means the same thing either way. Yeah. Engage your senses in the service of Krishna. And then, you know, six things are pravritti, six things are nivritti. Six things will help you, six things will make it difficult. Same way it's explained in Nectar of Devotion. Like that. Yeah. And then, what's the best way to control your senses? Right? Text number one, everybody becomes your disciple. Association. You become teacher, they become your disciple. Text number 2, Achahara Prayasas Sha Prajalpaniya Magraha Jana Sanghas Chaloilam Cha. Associating with ordinary people will just destroy your bhakti. Discussing all about ladies' fashion magazines or football scores and all, you know, just destroy your devotion. And next text, Utsahan Nishchayad Daryat Tata Karma Pravartana Sangat Yagat. Same thing. You know, give up the association of Sangha, people, dudes, you know, hanging. Common people, you know, give it up.
He says worldly minded people.
Huh? He says worldly minded people. Yeah, but in Sanskrit it says sangha tyaga. Just give up. Because it means like give it. Stop hanging out with people. What it means like that. Yeah.
It says sangha tyaga, I mean. It's not, I mean, it could be the other way.
Yeah.
The other meaning. Sangha tyaga, I mean. Only people.
Huh?
Hanging out with the wrong people.
Yeah, so that's what he's saying. Yeah. If you could give up the association of these ordinary worldly people, these ordinary people. Yeah. And then these all three verses, and Prabhupada directly says, that in text number 3, as he's talking, he's giving this indication to associate with devotees. So that's the best way to control your senses. If you associate with saintly people, you'll become a saint. Even if you don't smoke, if you start associating with people who smoke, you'll start smoking. Because you get the same anxieties they have, the same violence, the same frustration, and pretty soon you have to take a cigarette to, you know, to keep from punching somebody in the face, like that, you know. because you need the nicotine to... So you just do it, it's automatic, you know. I'm in psychology, I had one professor, he said he put anybody in a psychotic ward in a mental hospital, and in 3 weeks they'll be mad. Because every single person you talk to is nuts. You know, he's Napoleon, he's Wellington, she's Joan of Arc, he's Hitler, everybody here is nuts. Big psychiatrist, some people call him an anti-psychiatrist, R.D. Lang. His books are very good. He wrote a book called The Politics of Experience. Then at the end of his career, he wrote a book called The Voice of Experience. You know, good books for our preaching. But the politics of experience was that in some cultures, you're classified as a psychotic. Same person in a different culture is classified as a great and venerable saint or mystic, like that. So it all depends, you know. Lily Tomlin, the famous comedian, she said, why is it that when I talk to God, it's called prayer, but if God answers, it's called psychosis? Schizophrenia. That's the same thing. It's just different cultures, they classify people differently. Association. So text number 4, 5, and 6. What is association? Text number 4. How to associate with it by different levels of Vaishnavas? Text number 5. And specifically, the Uttama Adhikari. Text number 6, like that. But then, in text number 7 and 8, okay, have you got text number 7 and 8 in front of you? Okay, we'll do that. This is a very interactive seminar. They're almost the same, no? Number 7 is Shat Krishna Nama Charitadi, and text number 8 is Ta Nama Rupa Charitadi. So very, parallel ideas. Text number 1 emphasized the process. Engage your senses in the service of Krishna. Text number 2 and 3 tell us how. Keeping good and avoiding bad association are the easiest way to do that. So, text number 4, 5, and 6 describe association. Here then, in text 7 and 8, we see ourselves returning to the same process. Occupy your senses, your tongue, and your mind in the service of Krishna. So he's going back now. And then we start number text number 7 like that. Going through it. So we're doing. We're developing this program, and then I have 5 students for our Bhakti Shastri program, but they've developed what they call study partners. Because you can't deal with more than 5 people, really, like that. So like in Boise, Idaho, he has 4 more people wanted to do it, so I said, okay, just associate with them as you can, according to your ability. They said, well, 3 more want to take it, I just can't handle it. I said, okay, then form a subgroup. Okay, so Shihari is a PhD in hydrology, so he became the leader of the other subgroup. There was some complaints, It's amazing, too, is that people have different intellectual levels, and they don't get along socially and different things like that. And so it's like a challenge. Do you want to read these books or not? So it's like that. It's like, okay, so I'll tolerate this. And when we focus on Prabhupada's books, even though we have differences, they become tolerable like that. It's okay, we can put up with these things. And now we're getting Prabhupada's books like that. So very practical, organizing these programs associated. So in the evening is here, These are the texts now we're on. I fast forward here because we're on text number 7 and 8. And 9, 10, 11 in the next 2 weeks. We're doing it in 2-week sections. Our newsletter goes like that every 2 weeks. It's on our webpage every 2 weeks. It's working. So maybe next few nights also we can go ahead and maybe this week, 7 and 8. Yeah. Maybe next week we can finish. 9, 10, 11. So every night except Thursday. Just Thursday. Die. Mumbai, Bollywood, Kijai. Are you an actor? He's an actor. He's an actor. I thought I recognized his face. Next Thursday we'll be on television. Spanish. Any comments? Anything? Question? Yeah.
I found it interesting how Prabhupada translates manas vegam.
Yeah.
Vegam usually he says it's a pushing. He says the demands of the mind.
The what?
The demands.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
So, why is it different from the mind? Why he says like demands? It's
a sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions also is not as urge, and the urges of the tumbling and genitals like that. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam. It's all vegam. Yeah. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam.
What are the mind's demands?
No, he says here, aviroda priti. Viroda means obstruction, like that. So aviroda means unrestricted, unobstructed. So the mind just likes to think about things like that, you know. And you know, generate some opera, some soap opera. She said this to me. Well, she didn't give me any maha this morning. She only gave me half a rasagula. Well, I'm going to do this and that. Or my enemy is going to attack me. And you know, mind is going through all these dramas. You know, the hero. You know, the me story. Well, or else games. You know, different things like that. And when you yukta viroda, when that yukta connection viroda is blocked, krodha it says here. So I got this came out reading it. You know, how to associate with devotees in ISKCON. Wow, so helped so much. And then I saw I was going to the bank. Well, the deposit, and someone said, "Oh, come here and come and do this and that." And my mind became angry. Go to the bank, you know. And I said, "Wow, yeah, aviroda priti, yukta aviroda krodha." So then I said, "No, told my mind, don't worry, we can go to the bank and you know, in 15 minutes, it'll still be okay." You know, my mind became peaceful. So I renounced the attachment, and in my mind, I didn't have anger. So very practical. You can see this when you become attached to some plan, some objective, some self-image, you know, and then when it's obstructive, then you become angry. Like that, you know, and so you see, so because of that, well, I mean, analyze this. You know, is anger bad?
Not by itself.
Manasa. How's it go? Jiva begam manasa krodha. Put them together like that. Manasa krodha. Is anger bad?
If it's not used for Krishna.
If it's not used for Krishna, who he gives? Two examples of people using anger. Three examples he gives of people using anger for Krishna. Hanuman. There's only 22 maybe, yes. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya. To defend Nityananda. Like that. Yeah. But, generally speaking, it's difficult because it's the mode of ignorance and passion, so it's difficult to dovetail it. So usually, we just, you know, just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, let Krishna and Balaram take care of the problems like that. Or in Vrindavan, only Krishna and Balaram, you know, kill demons. This is one of the gifts I got from the Bhagavad Parikrama. Oh, because involved, so you get so angry sometimes and you commit, you feel offensive. But in Vrindavan, you feel bad for a long time, you know, about, you know, being angry and stuff. So they get this thing. In Vrindavan, only Krishna and Balaram kill demons. Is it a fact? Is it? Anybody else kill demons? In the Krishna book?
No.
So then, you know, everybody else just says, Krishna, Rama. It's just chant Maha Mantra. And then Krishna will. Sometimes if he wants to use you, it'll just be so natural, you can't even think about it. You'll just be like, you know, you'll just do something, you know, spontaneously. And then it works out. Everybody's nice. I mean, we're coming into Radhakund. I was walking to Radhakund. Our camp's down here. You go over the canal, like the Mount Parikrama. You walk over the hard rocks with somebody to get out of the guest house. You walk down the road and you go past the guy selling sugarcane juice. That's where all the buses are parked, the road back to Vrindavan. You cross over the little canal. And you're starting to come into Radhakund now. And I was there, there's like little guys in their shops, about this wide, and the front folds down like that, and they sit there and have their, you know, a few things like that. It looks very, very nice, you know, sit there and chant and have a few things for sale. And there was two dogs about this big, you know, chasing a piglet, little piggy, so cute. You know. And they were like, you know, grabbing him and shaking him and dropping him. He was running. And he ran and ran with him like that. You know. And these are the mothers there to protect them. They just, you know, chase the dogs away. But there's nobody there. Somehow or other, there's nobody to protect him. And what happens is they keep shaking him a few times until he's dehumanized. Then they, you know, rip his throat open and tear his stomach open and eat his intestines and, you know, like that. So, you know, they were just starting to dehumanize him, to you know, rip him up, you know. So just spontaneously with my umbrella, I hit one of the dogs like that, you know, wham, you know, and he went woof like that. And the piggy escaped and ran under something like that, you know. Then the dogs kind of looked at me and just ran off like looking for something else, you know. But then I was thinking, oh my God, I just hit a Brijbasi. You know, yeah. Yes, you know. And just kind of looking around. And these two guys are sitting in front of their shops like that, you know, ching pong, you know, like that, you know. And they could understand what I was thinking. Kind of like looking and then, you know, it was an instant court, you know, instant court of judgment like that. And they said, and the thing was like, okay, yeah, you hit a Brijbasi, but to protect another Brijbasi like that. And the Brijbasi you hit didn't even, you know, wasn't even bothered by it, you know, like that, so on. So you did the right thing. You're getting ready to live in Vrindavan like that. You reacted properly, you know, like a Brijbasi. There's three kinds of Brijbasis. Those who are born in Vrindavan, those who live in Vrindavan, and those who die in Vrindavan. You know. So we can also be Brijbasis. It's like right now I am a, they call it, provisional Dutch citizen. They call it, where Belgium was it? Huh?
Belgium.
Citizen. Because I have, you know, they stamped my passport. So I have the right to be protected by the laws, and I have to follow certain things like that. So if you go to Vrindavan, you're a provisional Brijbasi, and you have a right to, you know, offer special prayers to Krishna and do things like that. You know. So living in Vrindavan, right? So then I, you know, I realize that, yeah, if Krishna wants to use you, you know, your anger, it'll be like that. It'll be so quick and natural. You'll say something to somebody, you just chastise them, and you realize, ugh, you didn't, you know, I didn't do that, you know. And it'll just hit like that, and nobody will be hurt by it. The person will say, well, thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, I needed that. Thank you so much. You know. Oh, right, yeah. You know? So other than that, we just, if there's any doubt, my suggestion is just chant Hare Krishna. Because anger is the most difficult thing to dovetail. Yeah? So, yeah. Something else, you know, eating prasadam or something, you can maybe, you know, do it. But anger, if there's any doubt, better just to chant Hare Krishna. You know, Hare Rama. Yeah? Yeah. So, you know, this, I don't know, but I think it's just probably just using different words just to give a little variety. Because, yeah, the word vegam, it can be also mean urge or push, or other ways, demand. Yeah. Action, I guess, no. Well, that's also kind of indirect reaction. But that's how it works. Manasa. Yeah.
Maharaj, you were mentioning that you chose three songs which are directly connected with the Padashamita. You said the Opavaishana Thakura, Pache Pache Bolo, and I don't know the third one.
No, Tava Pache Pache is part of Ohe Vaishnava Thakura. It's the last line.
It's also Gurudev, it's the same thing.
Huh?
Gurudev, it's the same thing.
Maybe.
Dayatolis.
Because if you look at a lot of Bhaktivinoda Thakura's songs, he's simply paraphrasing the Shikshastakam. I'm sorry, the Shikshastakam. Mm-hmm. You see, all this is just the Shikshastakam. He hasn't done anything really fantastic. He's taken basic ideas and put them into songs like that. Yeah. So, yeah, the Ohe Vaishnava Thakura, it's from Sharanagati or something like that. But if you find it in the songbook, and there's two other songs, I think maybe three. Right there with it.
Yeah. Should be the same.
No,
should be the last line, no?
No.
First line,
no.
Next.
No.
There is
no.
Kripa Bendudi. Yeah. So that one, and then the other one is in the very beginning, Prabhupada cites Gauranga Bolite Habe. Explained that last night. It's, you look at it, then it's, you know, it's a very, very, very prominent song. Talking about that. Yeah. He quotes that there. So it's one song. Yeah. So I think if you start researching the citations, you discover the very fundamental things. You aren't just like, oh, what's a good verse to support this? Oh, okay. No, it's like, these are like very fundamental, you know, citations. So it's a very nice, it's like using it as a study guide. nice didactic device. My nature is explorer, not maintainer. Yeah, like I like to go through and discover new things and then get them back and turn them over to somebody else to develop. Okay. Somebody else doesn't like to explore. They like to just to sit one place and develop things like that. You know, so you start to work as a team. Yeah. And Hansa Duda, Treya Rishi said, of all my GBC godbrothers, Hansa Duda is probably the most intelligent. But it's not his intelligence I worry about. It's his ethics and morality. He says the same thing. He says, I am amoral. He just figures out what he thinks is the proper thing to do and he does it, whether the laws or anything else. And it's about him several times. Unusual situation with the law because of that. Yeah. But so one time he told me, he said, I said, you're not a maintainer. You're a man ahead of your time. You know. For example, ISKCON should institute polygamy. Okay, I don't know if tomorrow I get these letters from every GBC on earth. What are you talking about? Like this and that, you know? But you'll see. But that's in many ways natural arrangement like that and stuff. But it's a very sophisticated thing too. And I see it. It may not be. Maybe, you know, our children will start doing this. And you know, again, it's where the population is like 6 women to 1 man, which is very common. And in Europe, I guess it's about 1 to 1. In America, it's about 1 to 1.
Yeah, many ratio. Places.
Huh?
Many places is like.
Also higher. In Spain, I know it's higher. In Peru, it's about 6 to 1, like girls to boys. And I was mentioning that, and then one girl from Brazil said, in Brazil, it's 10 to 1. So therefore, you know, usually it's very common. You know, sort of sisters, they all marry one person. You know, David Hoodie and Carla Mooney and stuff like that. And so, but, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know, ISKCON is ready for this, you know, ISKCON. It's a good way to attract. So Hansa do this technique would do that to attract attention like that. You know, the government responds like that. You know. Hare Krishna is good doing. Everybody else is doing gay marriages, homosexual marriages. I mean, great. Yeah, it's nice for you. But next weekend we'll have a polygamous marriage right here, right? Invite it. Advertise it. You know, see what happens. You create interest. Then you can argue about this point. Well, look, you know. You're doing homosexual marriages. Why can't we do which is worse, homosexual marriage or polygamous marriage? you guys are always creating these problems for us bureaucrats. You know? But now that you mention it,
Well, one is allowed by law.
Huh?
One is allowed at least by law. The other is not.
Yeah, I know. With homosexual marriages.
Yeah, it's allowed.
Oh, it is now. In the United States, you're going state by state.
Yeah,
some places are, but no, this is where we, you know, Hansa Duda is like a war chief type guy. Some devotees are like these, you know, again, the same thing, they go out and create controversy and get things moving and everything else, and somebody else comes along and just, you know, starts after, saves the results like that, So that, those two songs, is it? Huh?
No.
Yeah, different. I think maybe it's a continuation. Okay. So I can go on lecturing for, you know, for months. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, when he was at Radhakund, he gave lectures and people thinking, oh, he's going to talk about these esoteric things. Gurudev will talk about all these things. He lectured on text number, I think it was 2 and 3 of Upadeshamrita for 10 days. Macho Rega. Achahara Prayasa. Radhakund. So Prabhupada Ki Jai, submitted tomorrow night, we all live. Go ahead like that. Maybe in the weekend, work out something. Our formal classes, the Goswami tradition.
You do also some Lalita Madhava, Vidyadhara?
Maybe, yeah. That's kind of, maybe again. Because that's the next one then. And the serious, you know. Several times Prabhupada mentions that, at least twice, you know, maybe more than that. He mentions that, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava. This is a summary, everything. And then Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the complete science of devotional service. Then Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava are demonstrations. Okay, you understand, theoretically, now we're going to do it, like that. So they're full of like, these different, you know, all you can go through and classify them. Here he's using this primary rasa, combined with this secondary rasa. Here it's, you know, the stimulus in this part of it, the vibhava is alambana ashray. And here it is alambana vishray. And here it is udipana, you know. Oh, that's a great job, huh? This is a postdoctorate or thesis, right? So Bhakti Sarvabhauma, to go through Vidagdha Madhava and analyze it in terms of, you know, Bhakti Rasa Nida Sindhu. Because if we'll see, everything is there, just like that. You know? I think there's one thing where, you know, Kushakrata, a lot of these translations are by Kushakrata. And he said, I know there's mistakes in the Sanskrit, I'm not perfect, you know, and things like that. But somebody should always be doing this, and somebody should get, you know, at least like something, you know, available. And said, well, at least correct your typographical errors. He said, well, if I do that, people will think it's more than a manuscript. Oh, there's a method in your madness. So his books had all these typographical errors. And now some people are cleaning up the typographical errors, but I think not correcting the Sanskrit and publishing them. That Ras Bihari Lal and Son, Punapragna may be doing that. So it's kind of their publications, I don't know, sure. If they're actually going back and correcting. But it's just wonderful work. It's like an unusual devotee. He finished all his translations, wrote his own book, got throat cancer, left his body in Vrindavan peaceful. And he had his job to do. Everybody here probably has their job. So, time to go. I need you someplace else. You know? So, but it's one phrase. Krishna meets Satyabhama for the first time. You know, do you like strawberry ice cream? Oh, I love strawberry ice cream. Do you like, you know, your jaguar? Oh, I love jaguar. You know, like something like this. They're meeting each other, and it's like, you know, this, you know, actually, Rukmini's friend. She sees Satyabhama, and she says, "Ooh boy, got to get her out of here." Since Rukmini hasn't got a chance against her. Got to send her back to her father or something. And let's forget it. She's, you know, got to get her out of here. That's before they're married, Satyabhama. So they're meeting each other, and this intense, you know, exchange is going on. And then Rukmini comes in with her girlfriends, walks into the garden there, and this thing, that, you know. Rukmini's looking at them both like that and say, "Oh, so I see you met Satyabhama." She says, "Oh, Satyabhama? You see the daughter of, oh, hello! Hello!" Hello, you know. And then, so Satyabhama is thinking like, well, she's, you know, she's very hot-tempered, like, you know, she's abandoning me when Rukmini comes like that, won't confess our love, like that, you know. So then Krishna's caught in the middle of all this stuff, and then, and Purnamasi comes in or something like that, and sees these things, and Krishna says something, which it can mean, in comparison to other girls, you are like the star, moon to the stars. And the other way is like, to Rukmini understands it as something the exact opposite, like, you know, that how can I ever be attracted to the stars when the moon is present, you know. And then Purnamasi understands it as that, I wonder if it's a full moon night tonight. Like, so it's like, and that, you know, Rupa goes, you know, it took him, I forgot, like it was like 15 years? Oh yeah, I got it in my mind now, I stored it here, funny. It was like 17 years for one and 22 years for the other. Like before he finished Lalita Madhava and Vidagdha Madhava, like that. So you can imagine, you know, Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami, one of the greatest scholars in his own time, taking 15 years to write a drama, what's going to come out of it like that? And in terms of like the precision of the poetry and the subtle use of the words, like that. You know? And so then try and translate this, you know, God, it's like a chapter, so this can be interpreted a few different ways. You know? Okay, now let's go to the next verse. You know, like that. So, but it's, you know, it's kind of maybe, again, you know, it's progressive. You know. Why do universities exist? You know? Yeah, you've been around in college. I'll tell you.
What do you say?
Why do universities exist?
To indoctrinate people.
Kind of. So teachers can learn. Yeah, shravanam, kirtanam. Can you teach it? Oh, you learn it. There's so much more. So much more work to do it as a teacher than a student. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going through this many times now, and each time it's like, you know, yeah? But it's so nice. So Prabhupada ki da, I get my mantra ki da. That's all we want to do. Okay. Ah! fourth.
Have you read Kamsa Dutta?
Yeah, yeah.
He wrote it before he joined Vachitaka.
Oh, yeah?
No, yeah. Oh, wow.
So he's already reading the Bhagavatam.
Like that.
Wow. Wow. Not ordinary people.
Yeah. And about that, Gopi Gopinath Acharya, that was called top devotee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Oxford. He told me he likes very much. Kamsa Dutta, because the Sanskrit is so perfect. He told me he wrote it before. And it's amazing.
So it only goes to show that he was, you know, he still accepted Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah.
You know, even though he wasn't just like a mundane scholar, he was an expert in Bhagavatam.
Wow.
Someone said that, or our big scholar, Vidyanamar, you know, Indologists, and they admit that, you know, it's great teacher to Jesus Christ, Buddha, so many people. But Lord Chaitanya is, his followers were all amongst extremely high class people.
Yeah.
Other people had fishermen and
yeah,
but Lord Chaitanya, his followers, yeah, every people, common people too, but his, nobody, no Lord Acharya in the history of the world had you know, followers like Maharaj Pratapa, Rudra, and
Sarvabhauma.
In the University of California, Berkeley campus, you should go there sometime. Very nice campus, very beautiful on the hill and old buildings like that. I see many different libraries. One of them is the Bancroft Library, and it's just rare books. They have Mark Twain's original handwritings. And they have texts there by Vasudeva Sarvabhauma. When you get the book, you check it out, they give you gloves after some of them. And they give you a bamboo, things like that. They put the book on a stand. And when you turn the pages, you use your bamboo thing to turn the pages and stuff. You have to be trained to access some of the manuscripts. They have like, you know, and they have some of the books by Vasudeva Sarvabhauma. So I guess maybe not like, yeah, handwritten bamboo leaf, probably like very old, even text like that. Because again, he was in Nyaya.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing in computer science. Actually, now it passes for logic at some universities. Yeah. Is, you know, for example, you have a circuit board, and so you want it, it has to be 675 different points that have to be connected up like that.
Yeah.
Is it possible to connect these points without going into a third dimension? There's wires you can go over like that.
Yeah.
Circuit board, it has to all be like flat in a plane, two dimensional thing. So philosophy means now to generate the algorithms to analyze this and say, no, this is no way you can do it. This cannot be done. You know? Well, so yeah, it can be done, but you have to, like, you know, first do this, create a square out of these, and create a square within like that, and create a this like that. So it's rules of topology. Because the actual form doesn't matter, you can stretch it. The actual connections. So it's a whole, you know, area in logic, which is very lucrative because of computer design. And so that's the same kind of thing that, you know, the Nyaya, they were getting into these super sophisticated systems of logic. And it was probably in terms of modern people's minds, it was incomprehensible. You know, in terms of like how they were like, you know, this great, you know, I mean, Gopinath Acharya, he tells Sarvabhauma, he says, not a second scholar in all of India who can equal you. You can't understand Lord Chaitanya. So, you know, the books on Nyaya are probably like these guys are going through them like, you know, if it's a computer, you program this, new programmers, you can design a program, but it will take like 15 minutes to, you know, to do something somebody else can design, and then as soon as you click the key, because how you organize the processes and stuff like that. It's a big thing, you know, in terms of systems of learning, systems of logic and stuff for organizing your work. That's what you're dealing with empire. You know, maybe 3 million people, and how to organize them without computers and, you know, organizing systems. Sanskrit is what's telling the king, like, you know, how to organize people, writing stuff, keeping track of stuff like that. It is incredible systems. You know. So still, you know, they're still, you know, 500 years later, people are looking at and reading his works and stuff like that. And I suspect as you go on, people will become, they'll recognize, oh, this is where we should look for more manuscripts. You know, track them down like that. Yeah. Die. Harinam Sankirtan, dude.